the very beginning of the 20th century, there were two young Parisian students, intellectuals. One was called Jacques Maritain, and his girlfriend was called Raissa. And Raissa was a poet. Jacques Maritain was a student of philosophy. They were agnostics, more or less. And they decided that life was meaningless. And one day in the Luxembourg Gardens in Paris, they made a vow. And they said, unless we can discover by the end of the school year the meaning of life, we will commit suicide. And so during that period, there's something very, you know, Parisian and a little over the top about all that. But while they were waiting for the school year to come to an end, Jacques Maritain read a statement by Léon Blois, who was a French spiritual writer. Léon Blois said, there's only one real sadness in life, not to be a saint. And that had a huge impact on young Jacques Maritain. Blois was insinuating that there's all kinds of sadnesses. I mean, I didn't become the success I wanted to be. I didn't achieve this and that. I didn't get the money I wanted. All kinds of sadnesses, but they don't matter at the end of the day. There's only one real sadness, not to become a saint, not to be the person that Christ wants you to be. And see, once you get that, here's, I think, what struck Maritain. Once you get that, your whole life changes. Your whole attitude changes, because most of us spend most of the time fussing about trivia. And it might be something as, you know, becoming the President of the United States, but from a spiritual standpoint, it's trivial. If you accomplish that but don't become a saint, or to make all the money in the world, boy, that's important in the common imagination. But from a spiritual standpoint, it's trivia. The only real sadness, the only real failure is not to become a saint. That woke Jacques Maritain up. And I think of it whenever this Feast of All Saints rolls around. One way to characterize sanctity is simply becoming a friend of Christ. It's becoming Christ's friend. Better allowing Christ to live his life in you. When St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. That's what it means to be a saint, that you allow Jesus so to dominate your life in every aspect that he's your Lord. Of course, Dominus in Latin just means Lord. He's the Lord of your whole life. And here's something, because I've stressed a lot, this non-competitive quality of God. You say, well, you know, I'm no longer alive. You're living your life in me. It sounds so oppressive, as though I've just surrendered everything. But see, no, when you surrender to God, who is the very ground of your own being, you find yourself. Read Paul's letters. His personality is evident on every page. His unique form of intellectuality, his own passions, his emotional life. I mean, all of it's there. Paul is Paul. But he can say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The old self, focused on ego and success and money and power, all that business. That doesn't matter. It's no longer I who live, that old self. But it's Christ who has come to dominate me. And that means I, Paul, have found my deepest self. That's what it means to be a saint. Well, part of the genius of the church is that we have so many saints, and the saints are so diverse. There's nothing of this kind of, I think of, you know, Maoist China in the 1950s and 60s, where everybody's wearing the same thing and saying the same things and walking the same way. Well, that's just tired, you know, monotony. The saints are not monotonous. There's a wide variety of personalities, styles, backgrounds, education. What do they all have in common? They've all become the friends of Christ. They've all allowed Christ to live his life in them. But the perfection of God is such that it requires this wide variety of manifestations in order to show itself adequately. There's no one saint who expresses the fullness of God. Each of the saints, in his or her own way, express something of God's power. I use the image of a bright white light that passes through a prism and then it breaks into many colors. Well, think of God's being as like this intense white light, God's perfection. But now it passes through the prism of the saints and it splits into all sorts of colors. And so we look at that wide variety and we get something of God's total splendor. It's also why it's important for each person to find a saint maybe who corresponds to his own deepest longings or style or background. Find a saint who, yeah, he's like me or she's like me. Also, I've argued, find a saint who's not like you. Find one who doesn't have your background, your interests, your style, because that saint will probably complete something that's lacking in you. But all of them in their splendor represent the fullness of God. Yeah, I think it's okay to think of saints as heroes. In any walk of life, we have heroes or models. If you're a baseball player, you look up to certain great figures. You're a golfer, you find there's a swing I want to emulate. And there is something of that in the saints. And we look to them as models or heroes. For many people, John Paul II was that. He was a model of the Christian life. But saints are more than that, because saints are our friends. I can say, well, Roberto Clemente is my model of how to run the bases, but I'm not a friend of Roberto Clemente. But the saints are alive, and the saints are present to us. They intercede for us. From their heavenly place, they guide us still, as the liturgy says. See, think of heaven not so much as way up there in a physicalistic way, like it's way beyond the planet Jupiter or something. Well, that just puts it at a great remove. Think of heaven as somehow else. It's another dimensional system that yet impinges upon our system. The saints, as it were, can stoop low to enter into our system and influence us, pray for us, act on our behalf. So when you find a saint, you found much more than just a model or a guide. You found a friend, spiritual friend, who helps you in your friendship with God. I think the most fundamental quality of a saint is someone who has allowed Jesus to get into his boat. And I use that image from the scriptures when Jesus gets into the boat of Simon without being asked, without being invited. He just gets into the boat and then begins commanding. And Simon cooperates with him. Okay, we'll go out in the deep, and okay, I'll lower my nets for a catch. Even though, Lord, we've been at it all night long, caught nothing, but I'll do what you want. That's a saint. So a saint is someone who has decentered her life. It's no longer her projects, her plans, her goals. It's now what Christ wants to accomplish through her. And so she sees herself as a vehicle. Again, that's not to be construed in a domineering way, as though I negate myself. No, you actually find yourself. That's why, you know, the saints are always very vivid personalities. I don't know if really an exception to that. The saints are vivid, memorable, striking personalities. Even like the little flower who's just spending her whole life in this quiet little convent in northwestern France. But talk about a vivid personality. Because see, the closer God gets, the more we're lit up from the inside. It's like the burning bush image, which is so powerful that when God comes into the world, He lights the world up without consuming it. So the bush is on fire but not consumed. Classical mythology, whenever the gods come in, they destroy what they have encountered. They have to clear out a space. It's not true with the Bible, but it's the saints are like a burning bush. They're on fire with Christ, but they're not consumed. They're lit up. They become more radiant. That's what we admire about them. That's why the artists depict them with halos, I think, because they're a source of luminescence. They're a source of illumination to others. Mother Teresa had that role clearly in the 20th century. Talk about a vivid personality, by the way. But she lit up the world around her. That's what the saints do.